Hey y'all, so welcome to this week's episode of The Turn On. Today, we are doing something a little different. As you know, we are currently on break with our feet up, relaxing on somebody's beach. That's a damn lie.
Are we?
That's a lie. Anyway.
That's not what we're doing.
We're in between. So this is Erica from the past coming to you to say that we are doing what? Double dipping. We are doubling back. You know how you double back to that old thing that you know ain't right? This time we're doubling back to something that's right. Right? Mm-hmm. So, today, for our first double dipping episode, we thought we would take you back to a time where we were young and dumb and full of cum. Okay, we're taking you back to the very first episode of The Turn On. Mm-hmm. It is from season one, episode one, titled What in the Butt?
In the Butt, yeah.
Do you have any reflections before we turn it over?
Yeah, so you know, I was re-listening to this episode as we were preparing for our double dip situation. And the beginning is like
so scripted. Oh my God. I was listening to it like, damn, we prepared like shit.
Yeah, we don't script anything. We just like ads kinda, and we riff even then.
Yeah, like I was listening to it like, oh, they tried. Also,
yeah, it's cute.
I forgot that I had dreams of being an ASMR artist.
I did too. Lord have mercy.
So anyway.
Yes, I forgot that part. Also, so you know, in the scripted part, we're talking about like how we came to do the show, and this show doesn't really solve my problem. Like, it solves it for other people.
Yeah,
like,
because again,
being able to listen to somebody read
the song, the story, the thing for this one.
Yeah.
It was good.
Right. But yeah, I'm like, but I can't.
Yeah.
I want to get off listening.
Listening to myself, right?
Right. But I hope it works for y'all. Yeah. I was like, damn, had this problem.
It was a good one. And also, it's interesting to think about like where we were in our heads during that particular time. Mm-hmm. So anyway.
And you know what else I noticed?
What?
Two things. One, like, you're talking about how you love talking about sex and reading about, you know, listening to sex and all that kind of stuff. But this was, like, before you realized you wanted to be a sex educator. And I was like, oh, look at little baby Erica.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the other thing is that because we were talking about how when I was listening to that one terrible thing that made me say, oh, we should do this show, was that the white woman was talking about cocks. But cocks still come up a lot. Like, I think I underestimated how often black people use that word.
Yeah.
Because it's in a lot of our stories.
We use cunt a lot, too, even though I like cunt. I like cunt in both, like, cunty, ooh, this bitch is a cunty bitch. Or in, like, a, he was all up in his cunt. Usually they talk about cunts when they're talking about, like, fingering it.
Mm-hmm. That's true. That's interesting.
But anyway.
Yeah, words it was a I good didn't one. Think we would say so often. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, all right. Well, sit back, relax, get your wine, your weed, whatever you need, and enjoy.
Bye, y'all.
Come here. Get off.
Welcome to the first episode of The Turn On, hosted by me, Erica.
And me, Kenria. So, thanks for coming. This, as Erica said, is our very first episode, and we are very excited to be here. So, on every show of The Turn On, we'll read a piece of Black erotica that's designed to turn you on. and then we'll talk about it and give you way too much information about ourselves.
Way too much.
Yeah. And then the following week, we'll come back and we'll talk to the someone who's connected to the piece that we read. So it could be the person who wrote it, the person who, you know, put together the anthology that it appeared in, but somebody who can teach us a bit of something new about getting it in.
So before we go too far, let's back up and talk about how we got here. First, we both love podcasts.
Love them.
We listen to them every single day, and we've been wanting to do our own show for years. But you know how you throw out this idea and it never really goes anywhere. We've been saying that for a while. We even had a meeting about it once, but I think we just got drunk and ended up watching a bunch of old Black Christmas movies.
That's mostly what we do.
I know. But a couple months ago, we decided to get really serious. And mostly because Karen decided she needed to tap the button.
Lord, every time you say that, it's like such a Erica-ism.
Tap the button.
I feel like I never even heard anybody else put it that way before.
Oh, well,
I love it. It's pretty
unique. Tap, tap, tap.
Yes. So, I was getting ready to masturbate, for those of you who have also never heard tap the button. And, you know, that puts like a lot of, it takes prep. Like, you got to get all your shit together. If you watch porn, you got to get that together. If you, I don't know, what else do people use to
entering your keyword on your special site.
Yes. But so, for me, a lot of times.
Lock the door from the kids.
Listen, bitch. Didn't my kid walk in on you?
Tapping the button.
She's never walked in on me because I lock my door, bitch.
It was definitely some children of the corn shit. And I, like, felt movement in the bedroom, but I have a dog. And so I kind of thought it was the dog moving around. And then all of a sudden, I had these eyes on me.
I'm sorry. Bitch, I've been locking my door since she was three.
Yeah, and she definitely exploited the fact that I'm not used to that.
Can't do it. She's sneaky. But so I was getting ready, and one of the ways that I like to, you know, get myself together is to read a book. I like erotica, shit that features Black people. But I really was thinking, you know, I'm kind of tired. Kind of just want to do this and go to sleep. It's a stress reliever. You know what I'm saying? Help you relax your muscles. Yes. But so I wanted to do it in the dark, which means it's hard to read. I didn't want to go through all of that. And since, you know, we like podcasts, I was like, it would be really dope if somebody could just read some nasty shit to me. And then I could use that to get there. So I went on the podcast app. Yeah. On iTunes. And I started searching for erotica. And there really wasn't anything there except for it was this white lady. And she kept saying cock.
Cocks.
Yes.
His
but it was
throbbing
like.
Cock.
Yes.
His
and
member.
Pink nipples and ugh. Like.
Strawberry head.
I'm like, no. Bitch, no. That's not
I
what
like
I
purple.
See.
Not red.
Purple and bulging and like.
Okay.
Sorry. I got carried away. But so there was none of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yo, this is something that should be out here in the world. And we some nasty bitches. We should do this shit.
So we did. So here we are. I love everything about sex, learning about it, trying new things, talking about it to people. And so I'm excited to use this podcast to do that and learn more.
Yep. And it's really dope because we get to do it together.
Yep. Yep. Ding, ding.
Yeah.
So Kenria is my bottom bitch. We met in college about 16 years ago, and we have been best fucking friends ever since.
Ever.
So we are now going to push past all that bullshit that says we have to either be hoes or somebody's mama, because I frankly am both.
Both. It's and like the, that gif that everybody puts on Twitter. Both. Both. Both.
Both. Both. Yes. Both. Yep. And so we're going to push past all that shit. And we're going to do that by reading about some sexy shit, learning some sexy shit, and passing it on to you.
Yep. The Turn On is a show for Black folks who want to get off and we want to open our minds while we do it. It'll show that we can love and we can fuck. And it doesn't have to be political or scandalous or dirty unless we want it to be.
So for our first episode, we're going to go with a really good story called Drag, and it's written by this British novelist, editor, and educator, Leonie Ross.
Mm-hmm. And we picked it because it's sexy as fuck.
Sexy.
Yeah, like it felt like a good place to start. Like it's, yeah. We'll talk about it a bit later, so we won't give you too much information, but you never really quite know what's going to happen next. I think that's one of the things I like best about it.
Yes. Yeah. So get whatever you need to get to whatever you need to get together to get do your shit,
your prayer.
Light your candles. Lock your door, please. Listen. Settle in.
Put your headphones on because this ain't safe for work or kids or.
Yeah, but you should know. If you're here by now, you know that. settle in, relax, and let's start the show.
Let's get it.
Drag by Leonie Ross. Today, I feel like a drag queen. Walking down Soho Way through the tourists and the catcalls, my crotch is aching under the good jeans and the bad underwear, watching the freaks go by, acres of eyeliner and jangly earrings and crap t-shirts that pass for fashion, walking and making sure my hips sway in calypso circles. Today, I feel like a drag queen. The top layer of me is a bouncing and behaving woman. I'm all rounded tits and a belly button so deep you could play strip poker inside it. But underneath that, I feel like a boy. 18 years old, slim hips, shoulders so strong I could carry the world, baby soft face, and mascara eyes. The boy in me lengthens my stride and gives me attitude. He looks out from under my eyelashes. I'm working it. I'm being seen. I'm shimmying. The only thing I want to drink more than beer tonight is you. I look up. He's not my type. His head would bang in the doorways. We couldn't even dance. I'd be stuck just above his navel. I don't like licorice-colored men. But today, the boy inside me needs a fuck from anybody. He's leaning against a porn shop. I can see those plastic ribbon thingies that they insist you pass through like a time machine. No, like a seedy entrance to a boudoir. I think that his face is open, that it reminds me of a child's. He's even yummy with a second glance. I look at him, grin. Going inside, I say. No, he laughs. Come inside with me, I say. We wander around the interior. It's dark and silly, and small waves of embarrassed men part before us. They try to pretend that none of us are there. I pick up the worst of the porn, speak loudly, point out cum shots and women dressed as little girls. I even find a puzzled, swollen donkey. We discuss measurements at the tops of our voices, pretending to be serious. Men begin to leave. The proprietor looks indignant. I turn more pages and I laugh in my boy's face. Watch our arms side by side, both bruise colored. His lips thrust through graceful stubble. What's your name? He says. Joe, I reply. He looks amused, as if he knows. Joanna? Josephine? Just Joe. Call me Joe, I say. I'm Jason, he says. I like the way he says his name. Like it fits him. Like he's new. Like he's the only Jason in the world. The proprietor grimaces and rolls his eyes. We are nearly alone in the shop. The last man is trying not to look me in the face as he wiggles past us. He wants to fuck me, but he doesn't want me to see that. Jason moves to let him go by. I love that he does not try to protect me from the lust in the man. He stands next to me, trusting me in my own space like I'm his equal, like I'm strong. Back at my flat, he lays me across my bed in between pages of my thesis. I am writing about black people in British ads, like how there are none. He doesn't care. The head of his dick is swollen and purple red. He is watching me closely. I tighten the muscles in my stomach, flex my shoulders. I want my body to feel like concrete when he touches me. I run my hands along my thighs, pretending the hair there is pepper grains. I'm holding the bunch of roses he bought me in Leicester Square, tight. A thorn sticks through my flesh and I can feel a tiny bead of blood on my palm. Jason crouches over me, pulls the roses away slowly. Then he is ripping them apart and scattering petals, stalks, thorns across my breast. Tell me how you want me to be, he pants. Fuck me like I'm a boy, I say. He puts a thumb up my cunt, parting the folds. It is a small sword through honey. I twist away, annoyed. No, I say. My voice is shaking. I want him to understand so bad, but I don't want to talk. like you're fucking yourself. He's lying on top of me, his cock rubbing against my tummy. It's wet there. He rubs himself across me, hip bone to hip bone. He's running a baseline through me. I can feel it everywhere. In my wrist, making my mouth reverberate. He licks the blood off my palm thoughtfully. That's hardly safe, I say. So, he says, and flips me over. My clip's rubbing against the white duvet, and I can feel it growing, swelling, tumescent, hard against my belly. He's spitting on his fingers, rubbing them up and down my asshole. His breath is lost in my hair. He pauses against the entrance like there's a stop sign, like he needs permission just one more time. Go on, I say. I've never done this before and it needs to be now. Go on. He pushes gently. The head slips in. Agony. I twist, trying to accommodate. Oh, fuck, he groans against my ear. I feel like a girl about to be taken. I fight against the femininity. I don't want it, not today. I want the abandonment, the urgency of a boy. But it's no good. I'm afraid. Straining, anxious, I push myself onto my elbows. He's still being tentative. He's halfway in, but my body is groaning, rejecting it. He is sliding into a tube of sandpaper. My whole body is shaking and my head is shaking. I can't be a boy this way. A million pins dance the length of my ass. I hear myself calling for time out. Jason, let's stop. He ignores me, thrusts a hand underneath us, begins to play with my clit, twisting, insistent, rubbing me in hard circles. I love the weight of him on top of me. I am pinned in a slow-moving dream. No, I say, but it's working. I can feel my ass melting, widening, moisture seeping out of chocolate walls. Your name is Jason. He whispers it against my hair. You're up against the wall. It's carnival, and you're up against a brick wall, and I'm fucking you in the ass. Your cock is rubbing against the wall. You're so hard. We met 5 minutes ago, and I rubbed the muscles in your arms. He's all the way inside me, a metal bar against my ass cheeks, the heel of his hand grinding into my clit, and nothing hurts anymore. I can hear myself. I'm growling, and I can hear the soca in the distance, and when I look up, I can see shocked grannies, amused revelers. I can see a policeman cocking his head to the side. Are they really doing that? He starts up the street, and I can see him, ready to arrest two queer niggers. I rub the muscles in your arms, and now I'm all the way up your ass. Your name is Jason. I have no breasts. My chest is flat. I shift, undulate. I've become a smooth runway that pours from the base of my arched neck, down my shoulder blades, spreads across my hips, pushes my ass up into him. I'm an oil machine, gleaming with afternoon sweat. Jason takes a breath, pulls halfway out, plunges into me, savage, uncompromising. His hand is a blur. I howl. Delicious. Afterward, he knows how to be. I tell him my full girl name. Today, I feel like an executive. My hair is scraped off my face and the makeup is effortless. Walking into a classy restaurant, the London sun streaming through the French windows, melting the clientele like individual ice cream cakes. I'm in a black suit and underneath the lingerie is apricot. My heels are sensible. Before I leave the office, my boss tells me to use everything I've got. He winks. Everything. He thinks he's a feminist, but he is not above pimping me out. Today, I feel like an executive. Facts and figures flow from my fingertips. My voice is controlled and assertive, but underneath is so much more. An ambitious 25-year-old who lies in the bath and dreams of power. Rubber duck in a bath tells me that I should have a flat on the Riviera, a penthouse in New York. Bubbles promised me a walk-in closet of designer clothes, 3 personal assistants, and gleaming expensive technology. I am a multi-million dollar deal. Josephine. I love his voice. I look up. He's in the sharp suit, dark. Women's heads swivel, and I think, blonde bitches, and hold on to the glass of water tightly. He scoops condensation from the edge and rubs it between his fingers, back and forth. I can't stop looking. I remember his hands on me and shiver in the heat. Long time no see, I say. So, he says, climbs right in next to me. You can't stay, I say. My thighs are humming. I have an important client coming. He stays. He introduces himself as my colleague when the client arrives. The client orders tea and discusses cost effectiveness and the implications of visual versus voiceover, whether we need a celebrity or normal actresses. Tells me that there are other ad companies waiting in line. I nod and sound intelligent. Jason puts his hand up my skirt. My knees snap together instinctively. He is cupping me like I'm a small, precious thing. I can smell myself across this sophisticated room. Pussy mixed with golden marigolds at the windowsill. He uses one long, insistent finger, rubs just above my clitoris. I try to edge him nearer the brink of me. Inside, I'm an empty roll of wet muscles. I could play him like a flute, if only we were far from here. His finger is still stroking the hair. Just the hair. I wonder if the teasing is on purpose. Sucking my breath as he hits the mark just to show off. Back to the top, then down again. Light circles. I try to slow my breathing. You see, we think that speaking to women in their own language will knock the socks off the competition, says the client. A single crumb sits on his neat mustache. I want to lick it off. I want to grab his head and push it between my breasts and scream. I want them both to fuck me across the table. Perhaps animation, says the client. Mm-hmm, I say. Jason's finger eases inside me, taking all the daylight in the room with it. I am sitting in a pool of summer. He puts a thumb back on my clit and it jumps like it's Christmas. I push my hips forward. They're doing circles. Tight, wide, urgent. Jason's skin is boiling. Could you order some coffee? I say to the client. He turns and signals for the waitress. Jason pulls his hand out of me and licks his fingers. 1, 2, 3. I hide a groan in my napkin. The client smiles at me, clueless. I smile back. Jason asks him a question. I can't hear him. I am literally deaf. The client leans forward. Jason leans toward him, his fingers back, twiddling me. I sip scalding coffee, burn my tongue, put my hand on top of Jason's hand, press him into me. My eyes are begging. Harder, I say. Pardon? Says the client. It must be hard to deal with the established competitors. It must get harder every day. Harder and harder. Ah, says the client. I want to close my eyes. I can feel my orgasm tickling the base of my spine, but I'm talking and talking, and the words are Scrabble squares on a board, meaningless but full of potential. I want to lean back in my chair, tell them both that one day I will be able to buy them with a flick of my well-manicured fingers. Jason puts his hand on my inner thigh, pushes my legs as wide as they can go, grasps my panties, and pushes them roughly aside. I can hear a rip. He pushes something small and cold up me. I bite my lip and my hand on the table goes into involuntary spasm. He makes me touch myself with the other one. He bites his bottom lip as our entwined fingers touch 2 tiny balls. They feel as if they should be silver. We stir them around, coaxing juice out of me. My hand is frothy. They tinkle, I'm sure. The client is talking, and Jason leans into my shoulder. Pussy music, he whispers. My hips begin to buck. I'm beyond speech. All I can do is nod, and the waves are getting more intense. My breasts are spilling out of my bra. They're so swollen. I'm breathing through my nose, and yes, he's giving me what I want. He's rubbing my clit the way I like it. Hard, and God, so dirty. And the balls are revolving, tinkling, pulling it all out of me. I surrender, lean forward onto the tablecloth. Are you all right? The men chorus it above me. The client is calling, waitress, waitress, she's having a fit. Everybody around me is looking afraid and concerned. Is she choking? Someone do the Heimlich on her ass. And Jason is all the way up in my face, one arm around my shoulder. Joe, you okay? Hush, baby, hush. But there's a fierce twinkle in his eye, and his whole body is saying, be quick, Josephine. Be cost effective. Exert your power. Come for me before the place erupts. I'm going to have to take my hand away. Come for me. And then I'm screaming. I can't believe that I'm letting my body jerk all over this posh restaurant, but there's something so powerful about it all. I'm coming in their faces and nobody knows. My nails are scraping the tablecloth and someone cries out as the coffee cup shatters on the floor. And I'm trying not to laugh, my cute little ass still jerking. You know those slow wave post-cum jerks that feel like aftershocks? And I've put my fingernails through the flesh between Jason's neck and his shoulder. And I can tell it really hurts him, but he's trying not to laugh too. And even as the waitress rushes over, Jason coaxes another little one. Just a tiny baby orgasm out of me because he's greedy like that. And then it's done, and he's wiping his hand free of pussy juice, wiping it all over his face and his pretty man cheekbones. And I'm like, fuck, fuck. I want to laugh. That's all I feel like doing, laughing. So I do. Delicious. Afterward, the client calls to make sure I'm all right. We get the deal. Pussy power. Today, I feel like a bride. Walking through the special room set aside for me in the back of the church, all Vera Wang class. If I could blush, I'd be blushing in the mirror. There is 1 hour to go. My bridesmaids, all 10 of them, have floated away, leaving me time. I do not know where they came from. None of them are my friends. My dress has cost 8,000 pounds. Microscopic pearls are almost invisible at the hemline, the bodice. Diamonds snigger in my ear and make promises. The dress reminds me of Victoria Falls in Zimbabwe at sunset, a huge flow of everything white in the world. Roaring snowflakes, pools of chalk dust, bleached frost. Today, I feel like a bride. Fragrant, I am every love song ever played. I am pink. I am the wedding march personified. I am God's best promise, an open sack waiting to be filled with matrimonially blessed seed. I am hope. But underneath, I'm a 39-year-old woman who is slipping, gratefully, off the shelf. A wedding cake, blind drunk with rum. I am the solemn, desperate hopes of my mother. I have lost my way. I have no choice. You're beautiful. I look up. I don't know how we got in. Gray hair fondles his temples. Thank you, I say. So, Jason says. He sits down at my feet, cross-legged. I can barely see him over the lace. What? I say. What do you want? He shakes his head, gets up without using his hands. So graceful. Then he's back with a sky blue bowl. I can smell the lotion. My grandmother's kitchen. What is it? I say. I made it, he says. He takes one perfect shoe off my foot. His hands are warm in the autumn breeze dancing through the church cracks. His palms are tender, and my body is already sweeter than it was before. Like someone dropped sugarcane into my heart, pumped it 1,000 miles a minute through my bloodstream. He draws patterns on my soles, my ankles, my thighs, pushing up through miles of dress. I sit down, legs akimbo, my back against the wall. I am whimpering as he runs his soft tongue through the hair down there, plating me, dipping his mouth into me, drinking me. His moistened hands have slipped under the dress's bodice and my breasts feel young again, perky, coffee-colored beginnings. My nipples are tiny silver balls. He is rubbing his magic lotion into my crotch, pouring it across my thighs. It's slick and drips off my soft belly, puddling and sinks into 8,000 pounds worth of promises. He parts the lips of my pussy as if in prayer. I watch him rubbing warm lotion over his cock, one hand on my hip. Then there are careful inches pushing inside me. I groan. Oh, I groan. We've never made love before. I wonder why as I gather him into me. I wonder why, because this is a symphony of scent and breath, high notes of lemon and the pure sob of cinnamon and the darkness of cloves. I wonder why as I say his name over and over like I'm hushing a baby. It is almost too good. He watches me writhe as he fucks me. His hand dives between our bodies. I listen to the old familiar sound of him rubbing me. His eyes are kind as I gasp and drum my fists against his back. "So this is what you feel like," he says. He's trying to be cool, but his voice is too shaky. I smile, my eyes close. "Does it feel good?" I want him to feel good. "Oh, yes," he says, and pushes his hands forward once more. His penis is kissing me, tiny, wet kisses along the length of me. So certain. He looks into my face. One finger, delicate, gathers a tear on my cheek. "Who am I?" I say. Jason pushes into me and reminds me who I am. He tears off one pearl and fucks me juicy. He tears another and fucks me deep. I join him, fingernails sliding through cloth and lace. The dress disintegrates, burying me dark and sticky against the church floor. I am throwing pearls across the room. We sound like animals being loved, coughing primal sounds over our lips and down our thrashing bodies. My hands are digging into his ass, pushing him further in. I have a finger inside him where it's hot and secret, guiding him, showing him how to move, how to please me. He is whining, but through it all, "Who are you? Who are you? Who are you?" he's saying. And I'm a drag queen, 18 years old, trying a little something something with the new beat of my clip. I'm a 25-year-old executive, even though I never made a million. I'm years of expectations. I'm a cop-out, thinking I needed to be Cinderella because God knows my mother needs grandchildren. I'm a fuck. I'm a friend. Yeah, I remember who they are. I'm enough. I'm enough. I'm just right. Birds whistle at the window as we swirl into orgasm. Afterward, I leave him in a pile, run down the aisle, cupping what's left of Vera Wang to my tits, the wedding party's mouth all O's of shock, but I can see delight in the ones who are glad. Out into the shuddering light of the autumn afternoon, I hail a cab, kick my bare feet up on the glass between me and the cab man. Delicious. Drive, I say.
So first impressions of the story, I absolutely loved it. First time I read it, I'll be really honest, I don't need a story. I am a, this endeavor is new for me because I am not a erotic literature kind of gal. I am a whatever free clip you got on Pornhub or somebody else, that's all I need. But so this was definitely different, and I feel like this was a good entry story for us because it gave a good story, but it also
that shit was hot.
Yeah, it was just really fucking hot. It was great stories, great scenarios. I loved it. However, it took me a minute to get exactly what was going on. And by a minute, I mean I had to hear from Kimria exactly what was happening in the story, which made me love it even more. So,
as you know, we just heard, you know, it's role play, really, when it comes down to it. I think very often when we think about role play, we think about like the costume that you got tucked up in the closet. Like, I have some of those costumes.
Girl, costumes.
I don't really use mine though. Not anymore. So I think, you know, there's a bit of a lot going on. So I can see how it'll be a little bit difficult to track. Cause she's like, today I feel like this. And it's like, okay, bitch, but you was just something else yesterday.
Yeah. I'm like, so is this dude just like dropping in and out of her life right. every now and then? Like,
and that's what I think it was.
Show up. Cause
I girl. Think he just like appears like Candyman.
The ghost of Dick's Past.
Yes.
The ghost of Pussy Past. So I have this term. I call it ghost of Pussy Past. And essentially it's just old dick. Niggas you used to fuck with mm-hmm. that just happen to pop back up in and out of your life mm-hmm. like Casper. You know what? I just saw us. These niggas tethered to the pussy. You know what? Let me not say that.
That's
sounds,
scary.
That sounds like
they gonna murder the pussy.
That
with
sounds
scissors.
Like soul ties. And we don't need Crystal Pussy
God.
Twitter coming after us.
Fucking Crystal Pussy Twitter.
Okay, but yeah, so but yeah, it was just like I would fucking scream if I'm at work trying to meet with a client or do something work like and the ghost of Pussy Past pop up
and put his hand in your pussy
and let's be honest, there's a few ghosts if they popped up and put the hand in my pussy, I'd be like, well, hey, hello, let's see where this goes.
Mm-hmm. Not in the middle of a client meeting, that ain't for you,
bitch. No, because I am. You think I'm expressive on this mic? Wait till I'm rocking another mic.
Ooh.
There's no way in hell I would be able to do that. But nonetheless,
hell nah.
It was. I really liked how she went through various levels mm-hmm. and various periods in her life.
Yeah.
But it took me a minute to understand exactly what was going on.
Yeah. So, I mean, to me, it's like she's trying on different roles, right? So it's essentially role play. I think so often when we think of role play, especially as it relates to sex, we think of like costumes and shit. Like, which, I mean, I had my costume period. I had my, I still have some, but I honestly don't use them anymore. It was a very short-lived period. I was trying to spice up some shit that I should have just let go.
Yeah. And you know what? We find ourselves doing that, trying to spice up and add some,
well, you just need to
put some stank on some things that don't need no stank.
Right. So, yeah. But I still have them. And it's probably been a smooth 10 years since I put on a costume. And part of it is because I'm not in no shit that I got to spice up. My shit is extra hot all the time.
Yeah. Ow. And that's not to say that if you don't, if role
that
play
that's
is your
the only
thing,
way.
That's
exactly.
your thing. But,
exactly.
you know, like I feel like so often as women, we find ourselves in a relationship that's not working mm-hmm. and we turn to what can I mean, and I think it's important to do some self-reflection.
And,
but I think we so often we turn to what's the latest trick I can do to show him, to prove him, mm-hmm. to him, to wow him. And it's like, girl, if this ain't natural, then don't
right.
Don't
of course,
try
a lot
it.
Of times that looks like forcing it, right?
Yeah.
Like it's a nigga that you probably shouldn't be with to begin with.
Exactly.
And
like,
if you can't have an actual conversation with him about what y'all need to do to make mm-hmm. things great for both of y'all. Like if you ain't coming or he not keeping it hard, maybe there's something else y'all need to talk about.
And that fucking fluffy unicorn costume ain't gonna help. Like that's not going to be it.
Bitch, you got a fluffy unicorn costume?
No, I do not have a fluffy unicorn costume.
All right.
I, you know, I don't think I did too many of the costumes. Like, yeah, I mean, so I am really, I'm comfortable with my body. Mm. I have no problem walking around naked. I have no problem being sexual. Something about costumes turned me into a fucking dork. Like, I am like, meep, moop, meep, moop. I am a robot. I'm a baby dinosaur. Like, it just becomes, I become a complete and utter dork when costumes are introduced. So, when I do the role playing, it's more like in the first scene mm-hmm. where we were I talk a whole lot of shit and sex. Yeah. So, our role playing comes in when it's, you know, when I'm just talking shit.
Okay.
As opposed to actual costumes. But what are your costumes?
I have a maid's costume.
Which is not fucking
fun. It ain't nothing fun about that. But when I bought it, I was like, don't know, like 25, 26, living in an apartment by myself. Like, I guess I thought that was sexy, but ain't shit sexy about cleaning up.
Ain't shit sexy about cleaning up because...
That's like my whole life now.
Exactly. Like, when I think about cleaning up, I'm thinking of how quickly can I do it before I get to bed.
All right, and ain't no special fucking outfit for that shit.
Fuck no, I ain't getting bleach on these good pants.
But I do, when I got that costume, I also got like a feather duster and that shit.
The feather duster is good.
Because when you, from behind, run that shit down your spine, wait, so this bitch thinks she can do ASMR. She sends me random videos of herself, like eating fucking pickles and like drumming her goddamn nails on the phone.
I will never post it on IG, but.
But she sent them to me.
Because you're special, bitch.
I'm special.
So, yeah. The feather duster comes in handy.
That's good. And then I have a police person costume. And here's the thing, police are fine. That shit ain't sexy,
not at all.
And the reality is, most of the time when I think about police, I'm worried about my life and the people who I love.
Exactly.
Life, and that don't really make me wet.
Like,
so
even now that you mention it, remember the Lil Wayne song Mrs. Officer?
Wait, that was two of our friends, like.
It was their song. They played it at their wedding.
Yes.
You know who you are.
Yep.
Shout out to y'all.
And I still think of them every time I hear that.
Which is.
Wee, wee, wee.
Wee, wee,
wee. Wee, wee, wee. However, it's an abuse of power.
And it's just like, there are so many more places and so many more things we can do other than fucking playing cops and robbers. Like,
exactly.
That's not cute.
It's not. So, yeah. So, I don't use my costumes anymore.
Well, but pieces of the costume, because I love a good restraint. And if you got some good handcuffs, yes, bitch. However, I found that when introducing handcuffs with black men is difficult because, you pull out the handcuffs and they like, no, bitch, we ain't doing this. And I'm like, wait, no, not you, me, tie me up.
And then
after more conversation, it becomes a thing. But
see, I've never, so I too enjoy a good handcuff.
I too enjoy good cuffing.
But I've never, I don't think I've ever had, I don't think they've ever even assumed I was going to put them shits on them.
You know what? But see,
they just put them shits on me and keep it moving.
Well, this is also meep, mope, meep, mope, Erica. It's like, what the fuck this robot dinosaur about to do? but cuffs, I found they're much better when you do like restraints as opposed to cuffs, because the handcuffs are like, handcuffs are for play. When you're really into doing some restraint shit, get you a good restraint.
So wait,
are
they attached or can you? Because my thing is, I want to put them where you can spread across.
So
the bed.
I have the pair that I have. They have the clips so you can attach.
You can attach them.
But also they have a hook so that you can like run them through ropes and stuff.
Okay. I need to get those. Okay.
Actually, I have a friend. So I got someone that I once dated.
Did you date him or did you just fuck him?
Well, we was just fucking.
Okay.
So you go into his house and he has like a nice bed and it's really nice. And once you start looking, you'd be like, are those O-rings bolted to each corner of your bed?
Oh, he's prepared.
Oh, he was so prepared. Like, this nigga, like, fucking bolted O-rings to each corner of his bed. And it's kind of in some, like, you don't really see what's going on.
Until you really look
closely. You tie it up and, like, oh, shit. This is how this nigga did it.
He's committed.
Really committed. And guess what? I'm about to be that committed. Because my next bedroom set, I've definitely been looking at, like, so how can we
tie some shit onto
this up? And, like, take it and just sprinkle a little hoe on it.
It's important.
It's important to just,
sprinkle a little hoe on some
shit. It's like Frank's hot sauce. We put that shit on everything. Put a little hoe on everything.
Yes. So with the story, in my mind, she is stepping into different roles. She is trying on different versions of herself to try to figure out which one fits.
So on the first one, you know, she, which I don't agree with, but she associates femininity with a lack of power. Mm-hmm. You know, like she says she doesn't want to be, she doesn't want to feel feminine. She doesn't want to be a girl because she doesn't want to be taken. And, you know, you and I kind of have that opposite situation going on where ain't nobody taking shit.
Ain't nobody, I give you.
Yeah, but she's also 18 in that scene, right?
Yeah.
So very often we had to grow, I had to grow into that.
Yeah, yeah.
So it makes sense as an 18-year-old. I had a little bit of a problem. It was interesting. So before he started trying to fuck her in the ass, he did pause and he asked for, like, he was asking for consent again.
Which was great.
Yeah, so like, it was really good to see that.
Yeah.
But then once he started and she couldn't take it and she said, hey, we should just stop. And he didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And he kept pushing. And even though she, I mean, yes, okay, she said she wanted it and it started to feel good. As somebody who has had a dick in her ass, mm-hmm. nigga, when I say stop, you stop.
Yeah, I hear you. And see, this is where it gets really dicey. Because I actually very recently had a situation kind of similar to that.
Mm.
And I was with a very determined individual who I think, see, it's hard because it worked out. You know, like.
I mean, it worked out here, too. But
we
it
were
made
doing
me
it. Yeah. Like, and like, there's no like way to like judge it or feel it out. Like, and this is where the whole, you know, sexual assault thing becomes so, I don't want to call it a thing, like it's something.
It's like new
fucking
or
game or some shit.
Yeah.
But, you know, this is where it gets very difficult because it's hard. Sometimes it's hard to tell, you know, when a no is. Because I fuck around all the time. But you know what? It worked because I did not inflict I did not use our safe word.
I definitely have a system set up.
But it was like one of them. I was like, oh, I don't know. This ain't going to work. And he
and
was
then
like.
It worked.
Keep trying, bitch. Keep bearing down. And it worked. And sweet Jesus, did the gates of the Lord open like my butt.
But see, having a safe word was part of your consent process.
Yeah.
And she was with
yeah.
a fucking stranger.
Very true. Very
so,
true.
Yeah, I mean, that part was a little tough for me. But she felt fine. And, you know, we
yeah.
believe women. And she said that she was cool. So it was fine.
And you know what? It was great. I like how it was very distinct periods in her life
mm-hmm.
because I feel like we've all been, I feel like at 18 was really when I started, no, well, yeah. So when I was like, when I got into college was really when I started trying to kind of explore my sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, I had sex in high school, but it was more.
In the back of somebody's car.
Bitch.
Just a tip.
I fucking lost my virginity on a waterbed.
Okay, so wait, y'all. So Eric is my best friend. We've known each other since our junior year in college.
Yeah.
I ain't never heard this story before. I think it's only appropriate that you tell it today.
Because we're talking about first time.
Yep.
So I was in band. I was a little ashy little girl in band.
Wait, what did you play?
The flute. Yeah. I was a flautist.
I mean, I knew this, so we had to let the people know.
I played the flute. And I was actually so bad that my mama thought I was first chair, but the first chair was on the other side. I was like.
So you were like, last chair.
I was just like a bitch.
I mean, you got to go to
touching,
games.
I was touching.
Were you a marching
things.
Band? Or
yeah.
This was,
so okay. This was marching band. So there was this guy, and he was in a marching band. I don't even fucking remember. Yeah, I didn't remember the nigga name. But anyway, so it's maybe spring. No, it was the summer because, you know, you're preparing for the season or whatever. So we're all at somebody's house and we flirting and stuff. And, you know, my dumb ass nigga smile too hard. No, I will not judge myself.
That's right.
Kimria shot me a look. So I was just. I wasn't ready. You know, you in a mm-hmm. place where, you know, a little nigga smile, a little rock biting nigga smile at you. And you like, oh, I like how that tooth hang out his mouth when he eat. You know, I shouldn't have done it. But anyway, so
it's part of your
he's smiling and he's smiling. That little tooth was hitting, the light was hitting that tooth. And
it's
so
like gleaming.
Ding! So we go in the back to his homeboy's room. Was it his homeboy's or like his homeboy's mama? I don't know. But we was like in the back and we get on the fucking waterbed. Okay, first. Nigga,
what year was this?
Fucking like
97, 98.
And it was like 97. They had a waterbed. So it couldn't have been a mama. Because if you are an adult, like.
A waterbed is not cool.
Yeah. So anyway, so we go in the back and there's this fucking waterbed. So we like start fooling around. It is a fucking waterbed with sex. The most important thing about sex is leverage. Exactly. That's why niggas take off their socks. They put them little hospital joints on so you get the grip so you can.
Need some traction.
You need some traction. You do not need to be fucking.
Plus, he was
around.
Probably very new too.
And don't nobody know what you're doing. Exactly. So it was the fucking worst, most awkward shit. And then what makes it even worse?
What?
A nigga walks in.
I'm sorry.
We was in there like, and it wasn't even like, because look, I've been walking in.
Were y'all even like naked or anything?
I've been walked in on multiple times, and I am like, look, you caught a bit of this, bitch, take notes.
Right.
This time it was like, he walked in, and was like, hey, and I was like, I don't even remember if I was naked.
I feel like when you're young
wouldn't.
Like that,
you just like
and
opening
in somebody
spaces,
somebody people room. And
it
shit.
Was the fucking worst. Like primarily because one, we didn't know what we was doing, and two, we didn't have the fucking leverage. Like you need traction. You need like to be pushing off of things, and we were like just two little ashy ass kids floating in a sea of cheap ass 12 count. one ply ass polyester sheets. Ugh. It was just disgusting. So, and this is also when I tell little girls about having sex, I'm like, girl, wait, because
you deserve so much
more. You deserve a better story other than like fucking rock biter on a fucking waterbed in somebody's house. Like, girl. So anyway, so
since everybody want a podcast these days, they could at least be thinking about how they might have to tell that story one day.
Exactly. So, you know, I've had a chance to lose my virginity a few more times after that. Nice. And it was delightful.
So, yeah. I mean, I like that. She is different people at different times, and you can see her growth, but also that she called herself out in that last one, right? Like, she felt like a bride, but she only felt like a bride because her mama was forcing her.
Yeah.
And I love that. Like,
that was some
only,
transformational dick.
Yo.
That dick was like, it knocked some sense in her.
I don't want to give him that much credit.
And I was just about to say, man, don't think that you're going, that you got like, transformational.
Magical.
Yo, dick ain't that magical. What happens is you just
she remember herself.
Her into place.
That's right.
It was
that's
more all. Her. Your dick was helpful, but
sure.
You know, but
it was an assist.
Yeah, it was an assist.
Yeah, but
I would
figure that
use
shit
a
out.
Sports metaphor, but I know nothing about them.
That's a sports assist, like in basketball,
where they like throw something and catch and be like boop.
I'm gonna go ahead and say no.
Okay.
Anyway.
Excuse me. Whatever.
I love that she got there and that, like, not only did she, like, bounce, we never find out what the nigga's name was that she was supposed to marry because the nigga
don't matter.
And, you know, I think if this had been, I mean, this would never be a romantic comedy, but if it had been a movie, she would have, like, walked out hand in hand with this nigga or, like, hit the altar and they would have got married or some, you know, bullshit. but she said, I left him in a pile on the floor. And I was like, yes, bitch. Like, it was all I could do not to yell that as I was reading it. And it's not because I don't like men. I love men. But that it wasn't about him.
It was about her and how she found herself.
Right. He wasn't saving her. She was saving herself.
Yeah.
So
it was a really dope story.
Yeah.
Well, so I actually really love this. Thank you for the pick, Kenria, because this was a good starter, you know, a good starter. So thank you for getting us wet.
Ooh, I like it. So I think that since this is our first episode and we just talked a little bit about your first time having sex
on
the waterbed,
we'll
save my first time story for another time. But this was also Josephine's first time doing something.
What? No, talk. I'm going to give you the background.
Okay, cool. It was her first time having anal sex. What's in the butt? Yes. What in the butt? So wait. She sings this shit all the time. First of all, she don't even know where it came from.
Yeah, I don't. I just sing it because it just makes, isn't it a great viral video, though? What, in the butt.
Yes, just like that.
In the butt.
But she also sings,
we do a lot.
But she also sings it at fucking inappropriate times. Like, I had to have a colonoscopy.
Well, there are lots of times where things are going in your butt. So it's not that it's inappropriate times. It's the appropriate
time. I was recovering.
It's not like I'm singing it at, like, bar mitzvahs.
I was still under anesthesia, like, still coming out.
And that's when everyone's the most
foggy.
Fun. You should appreciate a good
song. And this
song.
Bitch called me singing What in the Butt.
You should. And I sang it at mine. So we should just.
At least it was equal opportunity.
We sing it when we discuss
butt
things
stuff.
In the butt.
Yes.
Because what's what?
In the butt.
So
that's what's up.
Okay.
Okay.
Tell me about your first time.
Okay. So, unfortunately, my first time with anal was not fantastic. So, I was in a situation that I was trying to force to work, just like Josephine with her wedding situation. But I waited way too long to walk away from that. But in the course of it, this nigga kept trying to get me to do anal. And I just wasn't really comfortable because the reality was I didn't even like him that much by that time.
Here's my thing. Like, as someone that does do anal, like, I don't mind. I like it.
Yeah, I do too.
But I also really hate it when guys do
pressure you for this shit.
Like, ooh, I want to try it. Like, bruh, like,
chill. It's my body. We'll do it at some point.
Yeah,
but why,
like,
does it
I will give
to
you
be
the privilege.
Some big, huge thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay.
But so he kept pressuring me for it. And finally, one day, you know, talk about spicing shit up, I was like, all right, we can try. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, the lube, the whatever. But for me, I have to be, like, yeah, I can have one night stands. I have plenty. But, like, I still have to want it. It doesn't even have to be an emotional connection so much. I got to really want to fucking do it. And I didn't want to do it. So he attempted. And it was, you know, it was a big dick.
Mm-hmm.
Which makes things more difficult.
Note of the day. If you got a big dick, don't be asking for too much anal because it takes,
like,
a pro. You got a nice medium dick, even a small dick. I appreciate a small dick
in the butt if
you know what you're doing.
Yeah, yeah, no problem.
So, yeah.
But so I didn't really want to do it. And so he tried and it hurt. And I was like, fuck, no, stop. And so that was my first. That was it. That's the extent
Girl,
of my first anal experience.
When they be trying and it don't work, like, I did not understand the expression seeing stars until I had a nigga accidentally, and I'm using air quotes, ram it up my butt. Not even ram it up my butt. Try to get it up my butt. Bitch, I literally was like fucking was Bugs Bunny, like on my ass. Well, not on my ass. On my stomach with stars.
Circling around your head.
Stars and birds circling around my head.
God,
like, that shit is not fun.
No, it's not.
So my first time doing it, you know, like, I like trying new things. Mm-hmm. I consider myself a trisexual. I would try anything once except for scat play. You are not shitting on me. I am not shitting on you. Other than that, bitch, we can try.
Wait, but they got all these weird ass, like, not weird, but interesting names for that shit.
Yeah,
and
scat
I mean,
play.
So we.
No, that's my granny.
No, but there's
said,
like a Cleveland Steamer or something.
Yeah, that's when you. Never mind.
No, tell us what it is.
So I think a Cleveland Steamer is when you, like, shit on a chest.
Yeah.
Or something.
But
like
I'm
that.
Like, why y'all got to bring my city into this shit? And then I heard
well,
about.
Well, it is Cleveland.
Fuck you,
why
bitch.
Why would they? And then, y'all make a lot of chili, right?
No, bitch, we don't eat chili.
Oh, that's Cincinnati.
Yes.
My bad.
You done mixed up the Cleveland, the C's in Ohio. Yeah.
Same difference.
Not the
but
same.
Okay.
Whatever. It's like 5.5 hours away. Whatever. But yeah, no, that's that's not for me. But one thing that we always say on this show is that we never
yuck anyone's yum. So if you like it, that's good.
I mean, we want to hear about it, honestly.
Yeah, like if that's what you do. Because, side note, y'all will get lots of my granny stories. So my granny told me about first we were talking about Donald Trump, and she told me how she's convinced that.
Did she really just say
I'm
his
sorry,
name?
45. She told me how she's convinced that 45 has piss tapes. Why? Because she said she talked to a real live hoe.
Yes.
And that real live hoe told her that these men take him out. And they give them all this food. They give them this rich, good food and feed them and get them good and drunk and take them back to hotels and pay the hoes to piss on them and shit on them.
Yes.
My granny told me this. So, I mean, if granny, first, it's granny. Two, yes. It was a real live whore. So
well,
this
trust whores.
Story is just gold certified. That's that is right. Exactly what happens. FYI.
Yeah.
So
you
don't
even got to go ask the homie Google. Now you know.
Now you know. Like, granny and a real live whore. She was like, she went to whore school. Certified, stamped whore.
Yes.
So, my story about anal. Mm-hmm. So first time I tried it, was on vacation with, I mean, I've been wanting to do it for a while.
Okay.
So, first time on vacation with this guy, and you know, I was on my period. I think I was a little yeasty. You know, this nigga.
You needed another hole.
He flew me out. My mouth was tired and shit. And so I was like, well.
Might as well.
Might as well.
Get the loop.
Jaw's getting tired. Might as well try a little something. I'm not like super experienced, but every time I've tried it thus far, you just gotta have like willpower
and lube.
Yes, so
the right
also,
kind of lube, silicone based
lube. You need
do
something
water,
you
need ain't
something
it.
Thick. You need
spit
something
ain't
thick.
It. Ooh, because yeah. He just used spit in the store, and I was like, nigga, that's
I was like,
not enough.
This is definitely ooh. Poetic license.
Yeah.
So we will do a whole story. I feel like we need to like. Talk about, I research everything. Mm-hmm. So we need to talk about different lubes and what's better for and that kind of thing. But for anal, you need something thick. Mm-hmm. You need something silicone based. Mm-hmm. And also, when you're doing it up the butt, like, you done committed. This is like us with this podcast. We done committed to go on the record as like lifelong hoes.
It's fine.
When you do anal, you just got to commit. Unless we taking showers and wiping shit off. Like, I mean, you need to wipe shit off. But anyway, you need to commit to, like, we just doing anal tonight. Don't be thinking you're going to swap it in and out of places because that makes
very
angry coup happy.
You got to go wash the whole situation before you re-enter.
Yes, yes.
So you got to plan for a break.
Or start vaginally and then go anal. Anyway, so we had been on vacation and mouth got tired. I was like, let me get this nigga something else to, you know, he done flew a bitch out.
He flew you out.
I got flewed out. Toss his hair. So we are at it, and like the first couple, it hurt like hell. Mm-hmm. So when you're doing it, you gotta push down like you're trying to poop out. You gotta be very comfortable with your body and where you are. Don't try to do it after you had like after y'all went to the melting pot.
Yeah, y'all don't be all gassy.
No big fondue dates before you do this.
But yeah, you push out like you're trying to
like
poop, and it opens the hole so they can get in.
And then it just kind of, like in the story, like as something happens.
I think the head has to get all the way in first.
Yeah.
I feel like once that's in, it's a little easier to get the rest in. It's like a ring of fire.
I feel like someone that's like really experienced with this is listening to it, laughing at us.
Yeah,
like,
bitch, I just open it up and we go. Yeah, but it takes time. So,
but it's a very rewarding experience.
It is,
you know.
And so I'll say for me, although my first experience was shitty, like the second time,
no pun intended.
You smart bitch. The second time I wanted it. Mm-hmm. I was with someone who I actually really liked. Mm-hmm. And it was a medium dick.
Yes.
But, like, in the best way.
So you were telling me about a little
vibrator
something?
So two things. One, it helped because he really knew what he was doing. Mm-hmm. So his first thing was he needed to have me come first vaginally. So first, like, we fucked and I
came. Get everything loose and gushy.
Exactly. So we did that. And then I have this vibrator that's like a little egg, but it's on a stick almost. Mm-hmm. So it's a G-spot stimulator. So we put that in and push it up against the front wall. So now you're getting vibration. You got all the stuff going from the inside. And then he came in from the outside. And yes, there was a little, you know, the ring of fire situation. But because it wasn't huge, like once we got past that,
She was amazing.
So I have a little, butt plug. It's a little vibrating butt plug. It's not huge, but that has been helpful and kind of, you need to be in the, like, I am, like I said, I research everything. Mm-hmm. I have steps for everything. Sex, especially anal play, is not that, get the steps in mind, get it down, but it really needs to be an organic process. Just feel things out. It's helpful when everything is loose. Mm-hmm. It just
So I found
this very helpful. I mean, like, yes, if you're anything like me, do your research, read all that. But once you got it in your head, just kind of let it go.
Yeah. Well, and the third person that I've had anal with was that's a big dick, and it took us 3 tries, and maybe 4 tries. By the last time, we kind of had a system because we used the anal plug first. Mm-hmm. But once we got that all the way in there, things were kind of opened up. Mm-hmm. And then he was able to come in. We took it out. And then he was able to come.
It's like when you're feeding a baby. Take the pacifier out and shove the tongue in the mouth.
That's literally what we had to do. But so we were able to get 75% of the dick in.
Oh.
And we was at like 50% of the time before that. So that like primed the situation and got everything a little more open. And then once we got in, it was good.
A delight.
Yeah, but so we really had to kind of do it in stages.
You're like, well, tonight is 75% night.
Literally, we worked because it's something that I like and it's something that he likes. And because we had great communication, we were able to figure out our little plan.
Communication is so key. I say this all the time, especially the guys I'm fucking. I'm like, look, if you are able to put your face in my pussy, the least you can do is be able to talk to me about your wants and needs. Now, this is Erica you're talking to. So I may not give a fuck about your wants, but
at least you were able to say them.
Yeah, it's important for, it's so important to just communicate with the person you're having sex with. I'm like, people be like, I don't want to say that to him.
But then you don't want to fuck that nigga.
But then you just have your face on his dick. Yeah. Like, how did make that work? How sway? So anyway.
Yeah.
Alrighty.
So that's our first time with anal. And this was our first episode of the Turn On Podcast.
I'm doing a youthful dance. The one where they throw their hand in the air.
Anyway. That's fine.
You don't even know.
I don't, to be honest.
So it could be.
Okay.
Anyway, welcome. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for joining us.
This has been the first episode of the Turn On with your lovely host, Erica.
And Kenria, that's my name.
Killer Ken.
That is also my name.
So, welcome. Thank you for joining us. And we will see you again soon.
Until next time, we are two hoes
making it clap.
That's ridiculous.
This episode was produced by us, Kenry and Erica, and edited by Ballistic. The theme music is from Brazy. Hit subscribe right now in your favorite podcast app and at youtube.com/theturnonpodcast so you'll never miss an episode.
Then follow us on Twitter at @theturnonpod and Instagram at @theturnonpodcast. And you can find links to books, transcripts, guest info, what's turning us on, and other fun stuff at theturnonpodcast.com.
And don't forget to email us at theturnonpodcast@gmail.com with your book recommendations and your pressing sex and related questions.
And you can support the show by leaving us a 5-star review, buying some merch, or becoming a patron of the show. Just head to theturnonpodcast.com to make that happen.
Thanks for listening, and we'll see you soon. Holla.